Hi, I'm Daniel Eisenbud here from Google to talk about Maglev, our network load balancer. So this is my outline. First of all, I'm going to talk about what a network load balancer is, and then I'll go and talk about what we did in Maglev and why. So a client wants to get to a large internet service, such as Google. They do a DNS lookup, and obviously there are a lot of, say, TCP endpoints backing that service. So it's impractical to have separate DNS entries for all of them, so we have to multiplex things somehow. And so in the middle, there's this network load balancer. The client's traffic goes to the virtual IP address the DNS provided, goes through the internet, through our routers, and then to our network load balancer. And in this talk, I'm going to talk about network load balancers operating in direct server return mode. So the return packets to the client just go through the network. So the network load balancer is only responsible for load balancing incoming packets. It's possible to do other things too, but for this talk, this is how it works. So what do we need from a network LB? Obviously, it needs to do the job that's in its name, which is balance load. It needs to be reliable, so it can't move a user connection to a different TCP endpoint in the middle of the connection, or the user will get a reset. Ideally, we should be able to move fast and adding new features, deploying it in different operating environments. We should be able to grow it without pain, hopefully without actually moving physical boxes around, and it should be cheap. We should be able to deliver high performance per dollar. So in the past, we had some hardware network load balancers, and they were great, but we eventually hit a scaling wall with them. They weren't flexible. We had a very long turnaround time getting new features implemented. Scaling them involved actually moving physical boxes. Half of the capacity was wasted because they were in active passive failover mode. They were expensive at scale. And this is an actual plaque on an actual bronze-painted defunct network load balancer that some of my coworkers made. So we moved on. So in 2008, we hit the above wall with our existing appliances. And the key insight was, let's replace these inflexible things with computers, because we have a lot of computers at all these places we're serving. So we designed a user space software system running in existing servers. We have a scalable deployment model, which I'll talk about in a moment. This is an early example, in some sense, of virtual network function virtualization. And this also enables a global control plane, so we can have the control plane grow to cloud scale, since we now provide this as a service for our cloud customers. So Maglev runs on existing servers. We built the system to have very large scale in two dimensions. First of all, I'll talk about how we scaled out across many servers with ECMP and did that reliably. We also scaled up to 10 gig line rate with very small packets using kernel bypass, and I'll talk about that next. So as you see now, we have three Maglevs here. These ratios are not accurate. There's a much bigger fan out from Maglev to the endpoints. But the point is that if we want to grow the service, we just add a lot more endpoints, and then we need more network load balancer capacity, and we add a lot of Maglevs. So in the design, the two main points here are the reliability, keeping the connections alive, which is actually a challenge caused by the massive scale we want to build at. And then I'll talk a little bit more about the scaling numbers. So we need to keep connections alive. A user is connected, and if they have a longish connection, it would be very good if it didn't get reset in the middle. So there are a few cases where we need to do this and where some naive solutions don't work. So the set of Maglevs might change. Now, I didn't say in as many words, but the Maglevs are an ECMP set behind our router, and this router doesn't have a stable hash function. So when an ECMP change happens, most of the connections go to a different Maglev. And why would this ECMP change happen? Well, a Maglev might die, or it might come back to life after being dead. We might have restarted the binary, or it might have had a kernel upgrade, et cetera. We also might double the capacity of Maglevs suddenly because we realize that we need it. So now, one obvious solution is that all these Maglevs could share connections tracking state, but we want this to run at line rate with very tiny packets, and we want this to scale arbitrarily. So it would certainly be a very hard problem, and we decided not to go down this road. We also can't do round robin, because then when a connection goes to a different Maglev, that Maglev will have no idea what the connection was originally mapped to. So clearly, hashing on the five tuple is the solution. And steady state, you know, you go through Maglev 3 fails, actually, and that moves everything around between Maglevs, but Maglev 2 comes up with the same answer, so that's great. Now, when a set of backend changes, we can't just rely on hashing. If a backend is added to Maglev's backend set, it has to steal some hash space from somewhere. So we also need connection tracking. And the good thing is that we're running on these general software boxes, and we have lots of memory to do this. So that's not a problem doing that at scale. If we ran out of connection tracking state, we could also fall back to what I'm going to talk about next, but we don't. So steady state, here we are. We use connection tracking or the hashing if we haven't seen the connection yet. And when the backends change, guess what? We've already seen it, so we make the same decision. Wonderful. But now we have the challenge of what happens when we live in a dynamic environment and several things change at once. So an ECMP change ruins Maglev affinity, as I said before. The new Maglev that's getting the existing connection doesn't have a connection table entry. In standard hashing, backend change completely ruins the backend affinity, so that new Maglev will make the wrong decision most of the time. And so any backend change, while you have any Maglev set change, will reset most connections, which is undesirable. And one example of when this might happen is that you might actually have a Maglev and one of its backends living in the same rack, and the rack switch might fail. So it's very plausible that this will happen. And here's just a picture. So here we go. We go to a different Maglev. That Maglev's never heard of us, and the hash mod here has changed in the simplistic hashing model, and we make the wrong decision, and the user is sad. So an obvious answer to this problem is consistent hashing. The key point of a consistent hashing algorithm is that given similar inputs, we'll produce similar assignments of five tuple space to backends. And in particular, we have there's some schemes for doing this where you can have sort of a history-dependent thing. If you have one device, it can move the hash space around so that it's always doing something optimal in any change, but we actually need something stateless. So if a new Maglev spins up and has no idea what the history of the backend changes is, it needs to make the same decisions as the existing set of Maglevs. So this means that an ECMP change won't cause many resets, even with some small-scale backend changes at the same time. And here's, again, the picture. So we go to a different Maglev, but that Maglev uses consistent hashing to most of the time make the same decision. And it's not perfect, but it works well enough. So there's some big operational wins of this. We need to be able to do maintenance. We have a massive deployment all over the world. One way you could imagine maintaining the system is every time you want to do anything to Maglev, you DNS drain traffic away, and then you do your operation, and then you undrain. But on the scale we run this, that would actually be a major maintenance burden, so we don't want to do that. And with consistent hashing, we can just do a rolling restart instead. We restart a few of the Maglevs. When they come back up, we restart the next few, et cetera. And if a backend flaps during this, there might be a few resets, but it's very minimal impact, so we don't depend on the world being absolutely stable while we're doing this. So how do we do consistent hashing? There are two good algorithms from the 90s. One is by Karger et al., which is just called consistent hashing in the paper, and the other is called rendezvous hashing. And they work pretty well with small backend sets. They have the properties we want. The problem with them is that they basically are choosing a random backend in some consistent way for every slot in their table, so you need a very, very large table to converge to even distribution of five-tuple space to backends when you have a lot of backends, let's say on the order of 1,000 in our case. So these require really big tables. And remember, you don't just have one backend set. For cloud, you might have many, many, many. So this actually starts to be a scaling problem. In any case, we invented our own consistent hashing algorithm, and of course there's a cost. We lose a little bit of consistency in exchange for extremely even distribution of five-tuple space to backends. So I'm going to briefly go over the algorithm, and then I'm going to give a quick example. So what we do is we hash every backend, and this could be its name, or if they're named, or its IP address, doesn't matter, to a preference list of table positions in this lookup table we're going to build. We make the lookup table prime in this case, so we can just pick an offset and skip pair. But in general, you could do a general purpose random permutation. It would just be more expensive. And so for every backend, we start with the initial offset, and then we hop by skip, wrapping around the table. And backends take turns claiming their most preferred bucket that's still empty. So in general, in the first few rounds, every backend will get its first bunch of choices, and then there'll start to be some collisions, and they'll have to hop past other people's choices. So first we're going to build our permutation table. So backend 0, so offset is 3 for backend 0. So its first choice is 3, and its next choice is 0, because that's 3 plus 4 mod 7, et cetera. We fill in this table. And then we build this lookup table. So backend 0 gets its turn first. It gets its first choice. Backend 1 gets its first choice. Backend 2, its first choice is full, but it gets its second choice. And we go on until it's full. Now, they go a lot farther before they start hitting each other in a reasonable size table. So this is just a toy example. And then what happens when you remove a backend? So here we've removed backend 1. The yellow rows in this table represent cases where backend 1 went away. So that's good, because we don't want it in the new table. The green rows represent cases where the assignment is the same. And the red row represents the side effect, which is our trade-off for even distribution, where a backend that wasn't backend 1, that wasn't the backend that removed, changed. So that's not good, but we can manage it. And I'll give numbers and what that looks like at reasonable scale in the evaluation. So briefly to talk about scaling, we scale out with ECMP, and that's reliable because of all the above consistent hashing work. We use SDN switches with 256-way ECMP. They actually do NCAP for most of our applications. And so that gives us lots of scale. And the maintenance isn't a problem with this because of the consistent hashing. We also scale up with kernel bypass. So the Linux kernel was a bottleneck. We spent a lot of time copying data between the user space and the kernel. There were also some memory allocation issues. We actually spent a fair amount of time making this go faster with some success, but we eventually hit a wall. So we now have a model where we send and receive packets directly between user space and the NIC. We can go at 10 gig line rate, even with small packets. And actually, the maglev code is not the bottleneck. Our current NIC is the bottleneck. So we think we can scale a lot farther someday when we have faster NICs. We also hash packets across multiple queues to minimize reordering. So packets from the same stream should always hit the same processing thing in order. But we have a round robin. So if for some reason we get a very heavy flow, we get a lot of packets from the same 5-tuple in one queue, we can send them to other queues. And just bringing it all together, here's a diagram of the whole system. So on the right, traffic comes in from the NIC. It goes through the steering module, which is usually doing hashing, but sometimes round robin. And it goes into one of these queues. It goes to the maglev processing, per thread processing code, which does VIP matching, drops the packet if it doesn't hit a VIP. It does connection tracking, and either gets the answer from the connection table or computes an answer using consistent hashing and puts it in the connection table. It marks that connection active, so we can later harvest stale connections, and then it encaps and forwards. So let's see. So the consistent hashing, first of all. The columns labeled M are maglev, K is Karger, R is rendezvous. So maglev is basically perfectly even. This is 1,000 backends, and the small is a 65K table. The large is a 650K table. And so basically, the number of table assignments a backend has is completely even up to rounding with maglev, and is pretty far from it even with a very large table with other methods. But there's this trade-off. So with the 65K table, when you change anything, you get about 0.5% churn in other unrelated backends, and it gets a little bit worse as you change a higher percentage of the backends. We can make this much better by multiplying the size of the table by 10, so you can pick an operational point you're happy with this algorithm. And even at this larger table size, which is 650K, the other methods still have very uneven distribution between backends. Now, of course, we're not doing round robin, so there's still we still rely on having a lot of connections coming in for even distribution, because even though this table has even numbers of backend assignments to every backend, it's just the incoming SYNs are hitting this statistically. So as you can see, we have in practice about an over-provision factor. This is from one of our real clusters. If you look hard, you'll notice peak is in the middle of the night, because this is actually a European cluster, but Pacific time. Anyway, so we have an overprovision factor of about 1.16, and it gets much worse off peak, but we don't care, because then we have lots of excess capacity. Finally, the kernel bypass performance. The blue bars are the Linux kernel, and the orange bars are our kernel bypass. And as you can see, this enabled a major leap in scaling. So this is critical to running the system happily at scale. Finally, in conclusion, So Maglev is fast and reliable and scalable network load balancer, as I think I showed. We have to use ECMP, connection tracking, and consistent hashing together to be able to operate this reliably at scale. Kernel bypass gives us the performance needed to make it economical to do software load balancing like this. And finally, software is a great place to implement somewhat complicated stateful network functions like this. Thank you.
Hi, Vincent from Facebook. I have a question on the fragment and MTU, or several.
Yeah.
So in the paper, you mentioned that you make some kind of second stage maglev to handle fragments. So can you explain?
Yeah, so there are a couple of things here. First of all, there are two things. The MTU doesn't actually really come into that. So we first of all have to handle fragments that come in from users. And routers have different behavior. So some routers do three-tuple hashing on all fragments. You can't do five-tuple hashing on all fragments because the non-first fragments don't have ports. And some routers do three-tuple hashing on non-first fragments and five-tuple hashing on first fragments. There's a lot of behavior there. But in general, even if the routers do the best thing, which is three-tuple hashing on everything, they'll send all the fragments to different maglev. Now, that maglev can see the first fragment and make the right choices. The problem happens when the fragments get spread between different maglevs. And there's more in the paper about this. But basically, we can actually then three-tuple hash all the fragments in maglev and collate them in a second maglev that can see all the fragments from the same packet and make a reasonable five-tuple decision based on the first fragment. Separately, there are some issues potentially from MTU, but we have a high enough MTU internally that it's not a major problem.
Okay. And just in the paper, what kind of VIP do you need this kind? Because you say in the paper you activated the fragment on some of the VIP. Can you give a sense of
Yeah, in general, with TCP, you can clamp MSS enough, so it's not a problem. There's some UDP protocols that have, SIP in particular, has caused us issues where people want to, say, like send like 4 kilobyte fragmented packets.
Hey, let's work. One question here. When you mean the kernel bypass is a software solution, or you know, you are using some software sort of SRV or DBTK solution?
It's a software solution, so this is user-space software. It obviously needs NIC support, but we're using our unmodified kernel, production kernel, and getting packets directly from our NIC.
Why did you not try the SLV or DBTK, something like that?
Well, first of all, we did this a while ago, and I can take this offline.
Hong Tan from Alibaba, very nice work. One question is do you have one dedicated set of Maglev servers for one dedicated backend services, or do you multiplex across?
Oh, we share. We have many, many backend services per set of Maglevs.
That's what my guess. But then, so even though globally it's evenly distributed across all those backend servers, but for a specific service point of view, maybe that's not load balanced.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
So if you actually, say, evenly distribute all the flows across all the backend servers, but maybe one service only take maybe a fraction of the backend servers, but there's another...
Well, these things can have even non-overlapping set of backend servers. So every service can just specify a set. In general, we don't have sort of partial overlap. So we have a set of big reverse proxies we use, and most of our production services go to them. Uh-huh. Then there are a bunch of cloud customers, and we spread stuff across their VMs. And then there's some other sets of things like DNS servers we have. But in general, it's not like we have, you know, a service that has N backends and another service that only has half of them. So I'm not sure if that answers your question, but maybe
we'll take it offline.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you.